Sportscast, August 28th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, check out our YouTube channel, subscribe, and also on iTunes. If you're subscribed, if not subscribed, hit that rating, put a 5-star, have a beautiful review, because it will help us out tremendously in the world of sports, in the category of sports in iTunes. And of course, visit us on the sportscast.net for the latest and greatest lot going on in news. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. What a week in sports. We got a few boycotts going on. We got the Big Ten discussing maybe coming back by Thanksgiving. And of course, we got Ryan Krista all the way from upstate New York, where things are happening different from New York City. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it's good to be here. You know, you never know what things are going to happen in 2020. Things are crazy.
Things are crazy, and it's only August. But of course, sports keeps going on or doesn't go on. Ryan, a lot going on happened this week. Of course, there were some boycotts in the NFL. No, in the NBA. Also, some NFL. Some practices were suspended. I believe 9 teams did. MLS suspended. MLB suspended. We've never seen anything like this in sports. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
It was crazy. So we were talking Wednesday. You know, I've seen some things on Twitter saying, you know, teams are thinking about, you know, not playing today, you know, and the first game is the Bucks and Magic, you know, 4 o'clock, you know. I checked Twitter about 3:45 and the Bucks aren't on the court. And I'm like, uh-oh. Like, and then, you know, I check again, you know, 4 o'clock, still no sign of the team. And I'm like, it's going down. They're not going to play. And sure enough, you know, they boycott, you know, and then the Magic, you know, we really were blindsided, which I think if you're going to do this, do it right and at least let the Magic know what you're doing. But, you know, then you have literally, you know, 4 o'clock Wednesday, the whole sports landscape changed, you know, and you had, you know, all the playoff basketball games that day end up canceling along with, you know, several baseball games. And then yesterday, you know, Wednesday night hockey play, but then yesterday they made the decision not to play yesterday or today. So it's just crazy, you know. So now, what really was interesting, you know, I went to bed Wednesday really thinking the NBA season's over and the players are going to go home. But, you know, they had this big meeting Wednesday, and I guess there's really no decisions made other than the Lakers and Clippers basically said, we're done, you know. But they got up early in the morning, yesterday morning, and came to a decision that, you know, they've gone through enough, you know, quarantine, being in this bubble, that, you know, just finish it up. You know, obviously we're not a political podcast. We're not going to say, you know, right or wrong, but it was just a crazy, crazy thing.
So, which I have not heard anything for the past 24 hours, Ryan, is the playoffs going to continue? Are a few teams kind of deciding what to do? Like, what have you been hearing lately?
It's definitely going to be on. You know, the problem is I'm talking to you here at 12:30, you know, on Friday, and they haven't announced any schedule of the games, you know. So, obviously, nothing can be playing today. So, this will be the third day, you know. Today, you know, teams – all I've heard is teams have been practicing today, which is a good sign. So, I assume tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Sunday, the games will get started. It's whether they – are they going to push all these games that were supposed to be the last 2 days into, you know, 1 day or 2 days? It's, you know, so obviously everybody's on, you know, figuring how – what's this going to look like, you know, what's the schedule, you know. it was really – I think even caught the league totally off guard, caught the owners off guard, you know, and really showed, you know, how powerful the players are, you know. You can't play the game without them, you know. And I think they're understanding that and understanding, you know, whether you agree with them or not, that, you know, they're going to make their voice known and they're going to show how much power they really have.
What are the ramifications for the NBA, Ryan? Of course, what is going through the commission?
So here's one reason why they're also playing San Diego. If they – the lure to get the players to come, you know, they had a big meeting, you know, back in the end of June, beginning of July. Probably, I think it was mid-June, maybe. I think. Where basically they had a big Zoom call with all the players in the NBA. And when they decided to come, you know, they basically, you know, there was a big fraction of the crowd, you know, who said, we're done, you know, we want to be out on the streets, you know, community being activists and all that. And this is the time. We're not needed on the court. We needed doing that. But, you know, the league said, okay, we understand that, but we'll make this pro, you know, let you be as activist as possible as you could here in the bubble. And you're going to incentivize with, you know, extending your collective bargaining agreement and giving you a lure that you would get a big chunk of this money that they're going to get from playing these games. And if they don't, then CBA is null and void, and basically there's going to be a lockout next year. The owners would say, you know, we're not going to give you back the money that we were promised you for playing. So it was, there was a definite some financial ramifications that kind of led the players to come back.
Yeah, money talks when it comes to these type of games. Of course, MLS is on the edge this year, of course. And
so, I really don't know what's going to happen to MLS, Santiago. Yeah, it's now you got this whole Real Salt Lake issue with the owner and stuff like so. Who owns not just that, but the women's soccer team, too. So, I mean, it talks as if that guy's going to be forced to sell the team back to the league, and the league will eventually sell the team back. But
can they force him to sell, like what they did?
Yeah, but I mean, if the players
with Donald Sterling in the NBA, or
I'm sure they could. I mean, the players aren't going to play under that guy, so I basically that's what they said. So,
has it become as hyped as Donald Sterling, or is it?
Well, no, I mean, the MLS is not the MLS is in the NBA, and but it's definitely, and I think because everything else is going on, I think it would have been a much bigger story too without, you know. When you still got the NBA and MLB, you know, kind of, and even NHL there, you know, we also like kind of falls in the background. but it's still kind of a big deal, you know, and let's see what happens.
I think we got Ty Turner in the sportscast. Yeah. Welcome. We were talking about the NBA boycotts and everything. What are your thoughts so far about it?
You know, I was listening a little bit. Didn't even know if I had my mic on. So, but anyways, I was listening to it a little bit. It sounds like Ryan is a little more keyed in, to be honest with it. Honest with you, I don't have a lot to say on it. Obviously, there were some rumors out there that the Lakers and Clippers were thinking about ending the season. Quote me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
No, you're not wrong. They left the meeting Thursday or Wednesday night with the players, with basically the rest, all the leagues saying we're going to play in the Lakers and Clippers. You know, like them or not, I mean, this LeBron James is the power in the league. You know, Wednesday night, LeBron James doesn't want to play. So basically, the league's over. Thursday, he changes his mind. You know, somebody changed it, and the league's back on. So, and it's just crazy. I think what's crazy, you know, and I know Tyler's really honed in here in college football, and you got some breaking news here to talk about. But, you know, it's just crazy how the NBA, those players really, you know, what they did affected MLB, NHL, like how the leagues were forced and the teams were forced to basically, you know, in solidarity, you know, postpone a game, you know, and then it's also gone on to, you know, we'll talk about college football and also the NFL, you know, I've heard
My next question, what will happen if this happened like with the NFL? Obviously NFL has
mean we're at a unique time with the NFL where they're just practicing, you know, and so teams were able to take a day or two off and really, you know, have these meetings and talks and go on the street and these unity walks, you know, things that you saw in June, you know, we're back doing again here in, you know, August. So, but, you know, I've seen several tweets from players, you know, that there's a small fraction, maybe a player too, very minority players, you know, minority amount of players that you say, you know, we're definitely going to take action, you know, and they're going to boycott a game, you know, it doesn't mean to boycott the season. So this, the league and teams really have to quench the fire, you know, within these players, you know, because they're sparks right now, you know, but, you know, this is why they're taking time to, you know, give the players an opportunity to do what they got to do, you know, to, but, and you're also seeing a lot of that, I think, in college football now. BC was the first team to cancel practice, but you see a lot of teams not, walking out in practice, or, you know, doing, you know, some sort of solidarity, you know, actions.
Tyler, any closing thoughts on these boycotts?
Well, I mean, what I'm seeing is it's a little bit of a copycat situation. And I'm sorry, when you're taking your cues from LeBron James, sure, LeBron James is one of the most famous, if not the most famous, athletes alive. But the guy is a complete political ideologue. He parches himself completely on one side of the political spectrum. He has campaigned actively for several Democratic candidates. He has donated several thousands to Democratic causes. I just think he's an extremely, like, taking your cues from him is not good, because I think he's very divisive, because he has definitely put himself on one side of the political spectrum of things. I mean, he even went out and spoke against the Hong Kong protesters back when the NBA had to deal with, you know, China and the protesting that was going on in Hong Kong, and there was some controversy going around with that, and he went, didn't even know what he was talking about, you could tell. I think Ryan is right when he kind of says that it's like LeBron led the charge and then almost canceled the season and changed his mind, because he is who he is, the face of not just basketball but of professional sports, and it was the wealthiest or one of the wealthiest athletes and one of the most influential athletes. But I also think he's one of the most divisive athletes. I also saw that he's starting an initiative to have young people be at the polling places over older people, quote unquote, because, you know, older people, it's not, you know, they're elderly and safe. But I don't trust him. He's an ideologue. He parches himself on one side of the political spectrum. I do not trust LeBron James. So it makes you question some of the motivations, especially since he's kind of the leader, especially with the NBA, and then everyone else followed suit. I call out the sincerity of LeBron James. I think he's a political ideologue, and political ideologues need to be ignored. They need to be refuted. They need to be talked down to, because at the end of the day, what matters more to them is a particular ideology than matters actually dealing with actual racial justice. And I'm not saying that there isn't a part of LeBron James that could, but he clearly thinks that one party is superior in handling all issues to deal with that without even giving the other party even an opportunity. So that is just my one kind of comment on the boycotts in general, especially the copycat nature that went down, starting with the NBA and LeBron James kind of being that the ringleader of it. I don't like LeBron James being the ringleader, because I think he's politically idiotic.
Breaking news, guys. The NBA and the Players Union have decided they will resume games on Saturday, Ryan. So things are going to go back in motion.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. You had the schedule in front of you, Santiago?
I do not have the schedule in front of me. It's still breaking, so this is just minutes in. Is the schedule going to be quite changed, or, like, how do you see this being ironed out?
Oh, I mean, I have to look. You know, I've seen games where they would basically flip, you know, the games that are supposed to be Wednesday on the Saturday and games that were
– How many games were just boycotted? It was about four, right?
Well, there's four Wednesday, four yesterday. So
it's about eight. So we're probably like 2 days back. But hey, you know who's paying the bills at Disney? So I'm sure they'd be fine. Breaking news about an hour ago. Ty was the first to break it. Big Ten is reconsidering to start in November. Ty, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess they're meeting right now. I do believe it's more the coaches and the ADs than the presidents. Coaches, ADs, and the commissioner. I believe it would be a Thanksgiving start date, 8-game season. Kind of awkward, because it'd probably end at the end of January. Do they move the college football playoff back? I don't know. But yes, there is some movement towards an 8-game season. Does the Pac-12 follow suit? If they don't, Pac-12 is in real trouble. I guess we'll see. Obviously, a lot of backlash from the Big Ten. coaches have been very outspoken. ADs have been outspoken. Nebraska had 8 players file a lawsuit against the Big Ten. The Big Ten had parents from Big Ten student athletes went and protested at the Big Ten corporate office. So definitely a Justin lot of pushback from the Big Ten.
Yeah.
What'd you say? Justin,
also, Fields,
oh, yeah, Justin Fields.
From Ohio State was doing a petition. Little bit of a
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely not a consensus with the Big Ten. It definitely was very split. I mean, I believe like Northwestern, I guess, was very powerful in not wanting football. I believe Minnesota and Wisconsin were pretty in that ballpark too. But then Ohio State clearly wasn't, and Penn State wasn't there, and Nebraska clearly wasn't there. They're suing, for goodness sake. And then Iowa, I think, was against it. So definitely a lot of – whereas the Pac-12 is united because the Woke Coast, they are united. Good glory to them. But the Big Ten, definitely there was a lot of not united, a lot of disagreements. So I'm just interested to see what ends up happening. Possibly could this, let's just say hypothetically, the Big Ten agrees upon an 8-game season starting November and it ends in the middle of January. Well, why wouldn't they be included in the college football playoff? So do they move the playoff back? You know, I don't know. I think that would be definitely because Ohio State was a number 2 team in the Coastal Bowl and the AP preseason poll. So adding on one of the biggest brands, they've won 2 national titles this century, been in the college football playoff 3 times since its inception. I mean, to keep them out of it, if they're able to be like close to it, they're able to get back into it. And what if they go out and have an 8-0 season and just are dominant? Are you going to keep them out of the playoff? I mean, that's it definitely could, if the Big Ten can get this going, could do some changing to the whole college football playoff and what is decided.
Ryan, what's your thoughts over this? Big Ten coming back towards Thanksgiving. SEC ends around like the end of November. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Hey, like Ty was saying, well, the timing is just unusual. You know, now you have some of these writers saying, well, the SEC and the ACC and Big 12 should postpone their season to well, no. Why should they punish themselves when they've been ready and to go just because the Big Ten, you know, couldn't get their act together? You know, I'll believe it when I see it. Maybe it's just, you know, there's momentum, you know. But again, the ADs and coaches, I think, all wanted to play for the most part. It's the presidents, and I think the presidents, again, have to sign off on this. So they're the one, you can have all these meetings, but until the presidents sign off on this. What I heard before, you know, is that they're really momentum's going for, you know, season starting, you know, at the new year, you know, so it'll almost be like their own season, you know, hopefully coinciding with the Pac-12. But now it's like, now they want to jump forward because, you know, they see that the Big 12, ACC, and SEC are, you know, definitely on board to play, you know, and now I think there's a lot more pressure to get this season going on earlier than later.
Tyler, I mean, obviously SEC ends in November. You saying Big Ten might end in January. Is there going to be a chance of college football playoffs, or do you think they'll just scratch it off, or they'll try to make it work?
Okay, so I'm just rereading like exactly. The coaches are pushing for a late October, but the presidents are willing to settle with a mid-November or right around Thanksgiving start. So it does still look like the Big Ten is going to reverse its decision a little bit. So instead of canceling,
but again, Tyler, like as San Diego said, what does it matter if you start November if you're not going to be able to participate in the playoff? You know, how are you going to get
okay?
You?
Okay. Oh, this is what I got to say. Currently, you have 40% of the Power 5 that is not going to be part of the playoff. Do you want to have a legitimate playoff where you have all the best teams, or do you want to have some kind of makeshift playoff?
I mean, I agree. I mean, it's hard to imagine a playoff being legitimate if Ohio State's not.
Like, I would, I would, I, if, if I was a college football playoff committee, I would do.
You look at the Big Ten roster wise. I mean, who's going to come close to Ohio State this year? You know, I mean, no one really. You know, they should cruise.
And I mean, if you were to ask me, who do I think? I think Ohio State would win the national title this year.
I agree. I'm on board. You know, Justin Fields.
All I gotta say is like I think if they can get it going, then yeah, I think you include the Big Ten, and then Pac-12 will have no choice but to follow suit too. So then you'll more than likely have all Power Fives finishing the season before February, and then maybe you can hold the playoff and the national title in February. Do you see what I'm saying?
I agree, but then how fair is that? You know, then you're forcing the SEC to push back their season.
Yeah, that's my next question. Would the SEC push back a few weeks?
That's what I mean. Something's got to give here.
I don't think you push it back. I think what ends up happening is obviously the Big Ten and the Pac-12 right now aren't practicing, correct? So the SEC,
but the Big Ten is practicing though, Tyler. That's the issue. You know, they're practicing 12 hours a week. You know.
Michigan is, right?
Oh, well, okay. I know that they allowed people to do 12 hours a week, but I know, like, the Pac-12, barely anyone. Their Pac-12 is pretty much not practicing.
Pac-12 is different. Pac-12, you know, they're not on campus. You know, the Big Ten is, you know, a lot of these schools. I don't know if, like, Michigan State, who hasn't had it, their classes are 100% remotely. But, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, they're all practicing 12 hours a week. And, you know, the coaches are begging for 20, you know, even though – as we speak right now, there's still no season for them, you know. So I just don't, you know, if the presidents could get on board to go in October, I think they can work, even if it's 7 games, you know, just line it up closer to the rest of the power three schools. But we'll see.
Yeah. I think if the more that you can get every team and every conference as possible involved, the more that you got a legitimate college football playoff, the more that it's just, you know.
I mean, you talk to UCF and Memphis, they're probably clamoring for the Big Ten to, you know, stop talking.
Because they could actually get in it this year.
They're not great. I mean, line up on the field, they're not going to line up with Clemson, you know, Alabama, LSU, you know, they're going to go one of those teams are going to go perfect in the American, who is obviously, as we speak, the fourth best conference playing football this year, no doubt. You know, on paper, they definitely deserve a spot, you know, for one of those spots.
I got a feeling if you just go with the three conferences now, you'll just end up with two SEC teams in the college football.
It'd be hard to say no to one loss, you know, let's say one loss. SEC, yeah. Let's say Florida or Georgia, one loss, you know.
Yeah.
And Alabama goes perfect, you know. Let's just say Alabama beats Georgia in the season, you know. Then Georgia goes perfect. They're definitely could be the second best team in, you know, that's playing.
I also could see a scenario where every SEC team has a loss, and maybe in some cases every team's a won.
Because
their schedule is pretty bad.
If everything goes normal, and even if it doesn't, I mean, that's a factor. You know, if you're missing groups of players that in the game, especially in the SEC, you're not going to win that game, you know.
LSU is already struggling. LSU already has a whole position group that's up.
I mean, they lost, you know, NFL talent on NFL talent, you know, and then you got an outbreak, you know, as they're speaking right now. Yeah, it's going to be. It's even be tough to get on full strength just, you know, for a month, you know, you got to get enough practices.
Speaking about full strength, Tyler, how many weeks do these Big Ten teams need to get ready for that first game?
I mean, if they had to start in Thanksgiving, then they'd start camp in the middle of October. So it'd be about a month and a half from now. And then you'd have to think the Pac-12 at this point would have no choice. Otherwise, the Pac-12 is going to be maybe not even a Power 5 conference. So all I'm thinking is if all of a sudden the Big Ten speeds up its timeline, I think does the Pac-12 have a choice?
But they just run on a different – you know that, Tyler. They run a different – mindset. Oh,
but they can't. But there's still money speaks. You'll be completely irrelevant. I agree.
Just remember, think about last week, the Oregon State president basically mocking the SEC for even attempting to play. How could he go? If every president in the Pac-12 has that mindset, how could they go back on it? But I guess you're right. Money does speak, but.
Well, I mean, at the point where they're literally looking, well, they've already had to lay off half the Pac-12 network. So at this point, they would not even, there would be, recruits would be, there may not be, the downturn in recruiting, the downturn in revenue would be so that they can sit there and not do anything. They could also just stock full of weekends in Arizona and weekends in wherever they have Washington.
I think we're losing Tyler a bit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're going in and out a little bit. Not too bad as yesterday, but with Marvin.
Keep going. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I said that the people could bubble, no fans in the stadium, play in one of the couple of the domes in the area. They got the new SoFi Stadium in LA. Problem is, California, they can't even practice right now. So that is the problem with California schools. They have such severe restrictions in California that even practicing would be a little difficult for the California schools. Not as much for all the other teams, but
they got trained in Arizona, right at Ryan.
I would think, yeah, they would have no choice but to do something. Are they gonna just ask for money?
The Pac-12, man, they're an interesting conference. But
let's have the one conference that, is not even given really any kind of effort to play. It is the one that's asking for 50% revenue while the conference is having to lay off half the staff.
That's the whole demand. Ryan, closing thoughts on the Big Ten coming back.
It's a good sign. I hope momentum, I guess, hope we can figure out it. This is totally 2020 in this, the unknown, what could happen, but let's hope that it can get on board, hopefully get the Pac-12 on board, and then we can get some all power fives, and Santiago, Tyler, we have college football tomorrow night, 9:00, Central Arkansas versus Austin Peay.
I had no idea.
I
know. I forgot.
Who do you think will win, Ryan?
Central Arkansas.
We'll see how it looks.
Central Arkansas, an FCS team, has got 9 games on the schedule this year. I think that is one of the most remarkable things, that they basically they're playing a Big 12 team, they're playing a home and home with Eastern Kentucky, they're playing a one-off game with North Dakota State. They got a game in Cincinnati. They've gone away. I've heard this interview with the AD this morning, where they've gotten free testing from a hospital that's on their campus, so they're able to get affordable testing and testing enough that most of FCS schools can't do because of the cost. So they're ahead of the ball game, and it's going to really financially put that program ahead. But and Austin Peay, a team, Nashville, a team that kind of been famous because of Will Healy, took him from no wins to the FCS playoffs a couple years ago, and he propelled that job into UNC Charlotte. So obviously it's not a marquee matchup, but it's football, and it's the first live college event since March, so it's exciting.
Definitely, college football begins tomorrow. Maybe Ryan could live tweet that match. What have you heard about Liberty football? Last time I heard, that 3 game schedule with the ACC, Ryan.
Still on, we got 10 game schedules starting September 19th at Western Kentucky. Just came out per the governor of Virginia, they're allowing no more than 1,000 fans. So that goes with UVA and Virginia Tech. So small crowds in Liberty. But season's going. They're putting together a pretty good, recruiting class for next year. So, looking good up in the mountain for them.
Definitely a good thing, because they need some uplifting spirits after this past this past week of crazy news. Earl Thomas, Ryan, left the Ravens. Ravens cut him. He might be going to the Cowboys. How are your thoughts? Where do you think he should go?
Earl's got some personal issues to work out right now. but the Cowboys, if he's playing, with the full deck of cards, he could be that missing link for that Cowboys. They've got a pretty good roster, and maybe he could fill that need and put him over the top.
Tyler, any comments on that?
I don't have any comments, no.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on Earl Thomas and, of course, more scheduling news. Feels like scheduling has been the news for the past couple of months. We'll definitely keep an eye on the Big Ten. Very, very positive news. And, of course, Pac-12 is zero news, so hopefully we'll hear something back. SEC, things are marching along. Of course, they're practicing and things like that. There's no limitations with SEC practices or anything, right?
Just the general, in school practice limits, which I think is 20 hours on the field and another, I forget how many hours you can be in the film room, but.
Sticking with the NFL, Ty, what have you heard about Herbert in L.A.? How's he performing during the practices?
Good. He's all team ball. His teammates like him. So far, positive reviews. He got thrown in the fire once. I heard he's like playing with the second team offense, and they threw him in there against the first team defense. It didn't go very well, but I think pretty good. I think he's getting a hang of it. I don't think he's going to start the year. Well, I know he's not. It doesn't seem like he's going to start the year, but we'll see how it goes. An injury to Tyrod, he's in the game. What if Tyrod really starts to struggle? So he's just pretty close. He's getting there.
No way. And what have you heard about? What have you heard about? Tua Tagovailoa.
What have I heard about Tua?
Yeah.
Well, first week he had struggled a lot. I heard. I asked Justin. Justin said he was fighting the world on fire, and then I went and researched it, and I don't know what source was. But anyway,
still fine.
I heard he's really good this week. It's been very positive this week.
I think we lost him, Ryan.
I think he is, but yeah.
What do you hear about Tua?
I mean, kind of what Tyler said. Improving. Just the acclimation, getting the NFL speed of play. But, he's getting there again. I'm probably going to only look at Joe Burrow as the only starter in week one from this draft class. But,
Herbert. Then you'll start hearing getting that rookie in.
Yeah, exactly. Just like what Brian says, Joe Burrow has definitely looked like a lock to start for the Bengals.
Yeah, he has.
Who's the third quarterback that got? Oh yeah, it was Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. Those are the top three we're definitely eyeing on in their first season. Of course, there has been a report that fantasy football might be down 30% this year, Ryan.
I think people, sports aren't necessarily in people's minds right now, and I think people are just waiting to see, if the season goes. They don't want to invest in spending a night on a draft if their season isn't going to finish. So I think that's a lot of what's going on.
Something to definitely look at, and of course, we'll guys keep you up to date here in the sportscast of the latest college football, NFL, MLB, MLS, and of course, Messi. Where will Messi go? In the next couple of days or weeks. Poll question of day, who is your favorite Power Ranger? The options are Pink Ranger, Red Ranger, Green or White Ranger, or the Yellow Ranger. We'll go with Ty on that one.
I don't know. White.
Okay, White Ranger. Ryan, who's your favorite Power Ranger? Because I know you watched it when you were a kid.
No, I didn't, Santiago. But I'll say Yellow.
Yellow Ranger, that is, I forgot her name, but it's definitely a...
I picked the girl, of course.
A girl ranger. Yellow and pink are the girl ranger. Red ranger is a guy ranger. Green and white ranger, he's a guy. That was the most popular children's program back when I was in fourth grade.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I was more watching sports, Santiago. I don't know.
Sports and maybe some WrestleMania.
Yeah, Saber. Saber.
Anyways, Ty Turner, what is the best way to reach you to debate you about, to debate about the Pac-12?
At TurnerCast.
And Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about the upcoming NFL season?
I'm at the Mad Dog Report on Twitter.
And, of course, you can reach us at the Sportscast 1 or at thesportscast.net. We got a few articles about previewing the AFC and NFC. Check that out. And, of course, we want to respect honor to a legend, Hall of Fame basketball coach Lute Olson. He died at 85. He built Arizona into national power and guided the Wildcats to the school's only NCAA championship. He died at the age of 85.
Yeah, he was a great coach. He put Arizona basketball on the map and turned it into power. And he sad to see him pass away, but, you know, definitely left an impact in Pac-12 basketball.
There you go. Something positive about the Pac-12 this hour, right, Tyler?
Well, that was the last national title that they won. Last national title that the Pac-12 won in basketball was Lute Olson. So, yes.
Well, we pay respect to him, and hopefully – that we'll see some more legends like him in the sport of basketball. Anyways, Monday, we'll definitely keep you guys up to date. Who'll be on Monday? Follow us at the Sportscast 1. Ty and Ryan, I like this duo. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I'll see you later.